morning, and welcome to the 9 to 10 show, American DA Live for Friday, the 11th of July, brought to you by Landscapers Corner, 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. Landscapers Corner has the largest selection of natural stone in our area. Call them at 225-9433. Question of the day today is brought to you by United Structural Systems, a professional foundation repair company in business for over 20 years. iFixFoundations.com, 859-254-7700. In general, do you think the country's headed in the right direction? You tell us at WBLKAM.com. Tune in for the results between noon and 3 with Cruiser and Crew. By the way, yesterday, should Lexington police officers be allowed to use their cruisers for personal errands? That was our question. 39% said yes, but the officers should pay a fee for the use of those cars. 30% said yes, and 30% said no. And American DA Live Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Jack.
You're a hard-hearted son of a gun, as you have proven time and again on this show over the last however many years. But we have a soft spot. You have a soft spot. And it's the same one that I have, and that's for a soft spot for children, particularly children who are mistreated, and that is going to be the primary focus of our program this morning.
Yes. Children's Advocacy Center, the Bluegrass, is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. And it's I consider it to be the best-kept secret in Lexington, because the Children's Advocacy Center deals with issues that people really don't want to talk about. They don't even want to know about, and that's the sexual abuse of children. And with us today is Lou Anna Redcorn, who is a superstar in our office. And I'm going to just get out of the way and let her manage some of the topics we're talking about. Matt Brotherton, Sergeant Matt Brotherton, is in charge of the Crimes Against Children's Unit, and he's a very intense, articulate person when it comes to dealing with these kind of crimes. And Andrew Oliver is the executive director of the Children's Advocacy Center of the Bluegrass and has done a great job. I'd like to see the Children's Advocacy Center of the Bluegrass be a little more well-known in the community, because, after all, that center needs money to continue mm-hmm. to operate, and so I'm a shameless suck-up for people sending money in and that sort of thing.
But, well, and you hit it on the head when you said this is a problem that we don't want to think about, mm-hmm. you know.
So can I just get sure. out of the way and let Lou Anna be the princess of prosecution here?
Yes, good morning.
Okay, Lou.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I thought we would start off by letting the viewers or listeners just hear a little bit about the Children's Advocacy Center in general. Andrew, if you would just give us just an overview of what the center does.
Sure. Well, the Children's Advocacy Center coordinates really the criminal investigation and prosecution of the most serious cases of child abuse mm-hmm. in our community, and not only Lexington, but 17 Central Kentucky County. So we provide all of the services a child and family needs when an allegation of abuse surfaces, from the forensic interviews where the child talks to a trained specialist about what's happened to them, to the medical exam where they talk to a child abuse pediatrician who evaluates them and treats them and really helps them understand what's happened, to long-term therapy and advocacy support for kids and families to help them navigate really this difficult process.
What's your background? What prepared you for this job?
Well, I started in Child Protective Services, and I did some special investigations in Lexington and was there for 4 or 5 years. And then I went and got my master's degree in social work and did therapy for foster kids for a number of years, and then got into the nonprofit arena with Sunflower Kids Supervised Visitation Agency.
Great.
But, Jack, the thing is that and this is a great story, as Ray said. This Children's Advocacy Center is just a successful story and program that we have here in Fayette County. But it hasn't always been that way. Ray and I have been around, well, Ray a little longer than me, but for the last 20 years, before that, things were very different than they are now. And even though 20 years sounds like a long time ago, in terms of the life of these types of investigations, it's not, and things have really improved a lot. Andrew, tell us just quickly how it used to be before we had the Children's Advocacy Center.
Well, before the Children's Advocacy Center existed, you had so many disjointed pieces and parts of an investigation. So a child might tell her teacher at school that she was hurt, and the teacher would bring in the counselor and the school principal to talk to her before calling the police. The police department wasn't specialized at that time, so there wasn't a Crimes Against Children unit that specialized in this. So a uniformed officer would come out and take a report and refer her to a hospital, where she was evaluated often by doctors who were excellent doctors but might not know what they're looking for in these sensitive cases. Mm-hmm. And so you had so many different parts and pieces that kind of the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. And so you had to have the system where kids had to tell their story, really their deepest, darkest secret, over and over and over again. And that made for a really tough case for prosecutors in terms of prosecuting cases, and also for kids who would just shut down after telling 10 or 15 people what's happened to them.
Yeah.
So in the 20 years, how it then all began is that we started pulling all these people together around the table. And, of course, the table is not complete without law enforcement.
Sure.
So Matt has been the sergeant of this unit for how long now, Matt?
A little over a year and a half. It'll be 2 years in October.
But Matt has tremendous experience in the investigation of very serious cases.
When did this unit begin in Lexington? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know when.
No. It's been in the last 20 years. Though,
yes, right? Yes, it has been in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
The unit was up and running at least in 1989, and that was okay. That was when we very first started talking about these cases as a group. Where we would have law enforcement, social services, prosecutors, et cetera, around the table. And, of course, Matt's predecessors in that unit were there. But I wanted Matt to tell us just a little bit about the very serious cases that you all and your unit investigates that use the Children's Advocacy Center.
Well, the Crimes Against Children unit handles all crimes of physical and sexual abuse where the victim is under 18 years old. If it's a check fraud where the victim is 17 years old, that's not going to be handled by us. We only handle the cases of physical and sexual abuse. And we could not do what we need to do without the help of, especially social services. My detectives often work with a social worker who goes out and they have so many other resources that we just don't have, and the ability to immediately pull children out of an unsafe environment. But also, as far as the Child Advocacy Center, one of the terms that we haven't really talked about today that I think is important is re-victimization. And Andrew talked about it, where in the old days, the kid would have to tell the story over and over and over again and have to do it often in very harsh environments, where it would be maybe an examination room at a hospital with the harsh fluorescent lighting, with a doctor who confuses being impersonal with professional, and then have to tell that story again to a uniformed officer. And now with the Child Advocacy Center, what my detectives can do is coordinate with the social workers, coordinate with the therapists, coordinate with the Child Advocacy Center, and have all of this done just once, one time, in an environment that is designed to be more comforting for a child. It's invaluable.
Right. So I think one of the themes of this is one child, one place. And I think Matt hit on one of the things is the use of the center. And what we have now in the last several years, Jack, have implemented is the use of forensic interviewers. In the past, the law enforcement, police officers, or social workers did the actual interview of the children. Now we have interviewers that are trained to do nothing but interview children. Tell us a little bit about that.
Wow,
Andrew.
That's impressive.
Well, the forensic interview process is really just a legally defensible interview that's going to hold up in court, where the interviewer who's specially trained and really receives the best training in the world to talk to kids about these difficult issues, ask questions in a way that aren't leading the child to make a statement, and eliciting really narrative responses from the kids.
All right. So it's not that law enforcement or social services couldn't do a good interview. They could.
Mm-hmm.
But these are people, these forensic interviewers, whose job is to be very cautious and understand that words have meaning. And we only want, obviously, true and honest responses from children, and don't want to do anything that would lead them to say something that wasn't accurate or could be misinterpreted.
We're going to take a break at this point. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@vlk. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Luanna Redcorn is with us. Sergeant Matt Brotherton from the Police Department. Children's Advocacy Center Executive Director Andrew Oliver, just in case you just joined us. Luanna?
Yeah, Jack, we've been talking about the kind of cases that the Children's Advocacy Center deals with, and I think it's difficult to put into words and for people to understand what these cases are actually like. I think Matt hit on it a little bit. We're talking about cases with children less than 18 years old, sometimes children 2, 3, and 4 years old. And most of the cases that the Advocacy Center takes care of are sexual abuse cases. So I want Matt to just, without being too graphic, Matt, give us just an idea so that people understand exactly what kind of case it is that your unit and the Advocacy Center addresses.
I mean, these are the cases where we have allegations of sexual abuse of children by adults. And I was talking to Lou during the break, and I did, before I was promoted to sergeant, I did a little under 10 years in homicide, and friends of mine would always want to know about the cases. They make TV shows about them. We want to see them in the paper. People love hearing about these cases.
Murder cases,
mm-hmm. Homicide cases, when I was a homicide detective. Since I have become a sergeant, and friends of mine will see me and say, oh, hey, you know, do you want to do this? No, I was up all night working. They asked once.
They don't want to know,
they
right?
They don't want to know.
People don't want to know what I do that calls me out in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Folks don't want to hear about it because it's very easy to distance yourself from a homicide. Oh, I'm not a drug dealer or this or that.
Right.
But when we're talking about children being victimized, we've all been children. We all know kids. You know, folks have children. And people don't want to believe that this stuff occurs at all.
Yep.
Much less that it occurs of a frequency that we have to have a unit devoted to it. And my detectives, just like everyone in the public sector, were overworked. And we spend so much time working on these cases because it is incredibly frequent, and things like the Child Advocacy Center that allow us to deal with these cases, and we can't overestimate the value of them.
Right. And Jack, many of these cases involve families. I mean, the concept that a stranger assaults a child, that does happen. But the reality is most of the victims, the abuse occurs in a familial setting. So you get a whole nother dynamic in these cases that you don't see in a homicide or in a bank robbery. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Children's Advocacy Center is we've got advocates, family advocates, child advocates there that understand and can deal with the dynamics. Andrew, tell us a little bit about some of the programs that we've used over the years to help support the family member that may be left to care for this child when the abuser is in the home.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head that this is not only the most traumatic thing that's happened to a child, but it's also the most traumatic thing that's ever happened to a family as well. They struggle with dealings of guilt and shame that this would happen to their child. And so we're there to really support them and guide them through this process. You know, oftentimes if it goes as far as a criminal prosecution, this can take, you know, a couple of years to make happen. And so we're there every step of the way. And so we're available to help the family and the child prepare for court. We'll take the child into the courtroom in conjunction with the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office, and they'll get to sit in the witness stand. And we have a whole program devoted to that. And then we have short and long-term therapy for kids. These kids can and do heal from child abuse and from the awful things that have happened to them with support. And what we say is we literally wrap our arms around that family, literally and figuratively.
Let's go to the calls right now. This is Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I'm an attorney in the area, and I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of the Advocacy Center. I've unfortunately had to watch several interviews, and the patience of the people that do the interviews and it is amazing. They get a story out without leading them, these poor children, in any direction. And it's such a good thing that they don't have to tell their story 10 different times to so many different strangers. I'm huge fan of them, and I'm grateful that they're out there.
Well, thank you. You know, we exist because of the kindness and compassion of members of our community. And the entire thing that we do is designed with kids in mind. And it does nobody any good if a child is led into a statement, into saying something that happened that didn't. And so we really want to take our time and process things with the family and the child, and just to ensure that we do everything the right way.
Kevin, well, I appreciate the call. Go ahead.
Thanks. I was just going to say those, the interviewers are incredibly patient to wait and let the child tell it, not explain or help them along the way and get something out of them that's not so. Their patience is incredible. And thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. That was a great call. Kim, good morning.
Hello. I am a foster mom, and when we first decided to foster, we wanted to help children like 6, 7, 8, 9. And then in the classes, they kind of scare you about sexually abused children and da-da-da-da and what they could do to your own children. But what is your opinion on, just because the child has been abused, does that normally, I mean, do they come into, like, foster homes and act up and do all that? Or is it they're shameful? And what is your opinion about fostering a child that has gone through something like that?
Well, I think all kids need love and support. And what we know is that kids with treatment do overcome these issues every day. There are inherent risks for kids that can be abused. They may be more likely to act out. And so, you know, what we tell parents is it's all about supervision. You know, when you have kids that have those issues, you know, maybe you don't put them in one child on one child situations and without proper supervision initially. And so I just want to drive home there's this misconception that kids who abuse will abuse other kids, and I don't believe that to be the case. And we see kids that come away from this on the other side whole and the kids that they're supposed to be.
That's good news. That's really good news. Thank you very much for your call. We'll take this opportunity to take our break, and we will be right back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. We'll be right back. We're talking about kids this morning, specifically the Children's Advocacy Center. Executive Director Andrew Oliver is with us, Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Luanna Redcorn, and Sergeant Matt Brotherton from the Police Department. Luanna?
Yeah, we've been talking about the clients that the Children's Advocacy Center serves. And Andrew, is it just for Fayette County?
Well, actually, we serve Lexington and 17 surrounding counties. And so we serve what's called the Bluegrass Area Development District. Children's Advocacy Centers in Kentucky are located all across the state. And so if you're standing in Lexington and drive just about any direction for an hour, that's our kind of service area.
How many advocacy centers are there statewide? Do you know?
There are 15 across the state. And together we form an association called the Kentucky Association for Children's Advocacy Centers. That's our state chapter that works together to change laws related to how we serve kids.
So with so many counties, you all must serve an incredible number of children.
Last year, we served over 600 kids for the first time ever.
Wow. And that means, when you say you serve these kids, what kinds of interviews, medicals, therapy?
We did 602 forensic interviews last year. We had another 90 kids enroll in individual group and family therapy. Mm-hmm. And then we do about 150 medical exams a year.
And for all those numbers, those 600 kids, is there a social services investigation or a law enforcement investigation attached to each one?
There's certainly a criminal investigation. So sometimes cases are referred to the center by law enforcement alone. And then if there is what we call a care, custody, or control issue, so if someone is supervising that child or it's a family member or someone in the home, then social services will become involved as well, and that's a joint investigation.
And I am assuming that the police cases that come from Fayette County are by the Lexington Police Department.
That's right. And sometimes if a crime occurs on school property, then the Fayette County Board of Education's law enforcement.
All right, so you deal with that law enforcement agency. What about other law enforcement agencies out in the state?
Well, we work with city police departments in all 17 counties and county sheriff's departments, and of course, I think we work with 3 different Kentucky State Police posts as well in our service area.
So a number of different agencies that you coordinate with.
That's exactly right.
Matt, one of the things I wanted to also touch on was the cases of the criminal cases that actually go to trial. Tell us about your experience in the benefit to successful prosecutions.
Well, I mean, here's the thing that's difficult about these cases. Rarely do we have a child who comes immediately after the event to report what happened. It'll be months, years later, often where someone says, when I was 8 years old, my stepfather was doing this to me, or my mom's boyfriend or my dad or grandfather was doing this to me. At that point, our hope of getting any DNA evidence or any actual physical evidence is long gone. And these are things that police have certainly become not necessarily dependent on, but DNA has really changed our ability to get successful prosecutions.
Right, and juries want to hear that kind of evidence.
Absolutely, they want to hear it. They're so used to seeing
television
cases. And so now prosecuting these cases, I mean, the fact is, if we have an 8-year-old who comes to the Child Advocacy Center and says this is what happened, in a court case, that 8-year-old would have to go on the stand. And these are, you know, unbelievably difficult cases to prosecute. But one of the things I want to really emphasize about the change from before the Child Advocacy Center existed and before a multidisciplinary response, these cases often just aren't going to be prosecuted. We have a kid who's been abused and all we have is their allegation. We have no physical evidence. We go try and talk to the suspect, and the suspect either does a total denial or asks for an attorney. And the only evidence we have is this allegation of a child. And that case really is probably going to go nowhere in the criminal justice system. But even if I have an 8-year-old who is raped, and I take that person and put them in prison for the rest of their life, that doesn't suddenly make that 8-year-old whole. That doesn't suddenly make it where this girl is going to be able to forget all of this, heal from that, and be able to have healthy relationships for the rest of her life. And that's why I think it is so important to focus, in conjunction with the criminal investigation, also all of the therapy services that can be provided. Because whether we arrest a person or not, without the therapy, without setting up an environment where we're not constantly victimizing this child by having them tell it over and over again, without all of that, who cares if we put this person in prison for 20 years if this kid has to live with us for the rest of their life and is never able to be healthy?
Let's go back to the calls. Good
morning. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hello? Yeah, this is...
Go ahead.
Hello?
And is never able to be healthy.
Let's go back to the calls. Good
morning. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hello? Yeah, this is...
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Richard. I'd like to speak about the child protective stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, Richard. You're on the air.
Oh, I am? Okay. That's different. I've got a stepdaughter. Lives in Louisville, Kentucky. It has a daughter that's 14 years old. It's rather wild. She's been involved as a witness or some way into a murder up there in Louisville. And she's been to court on several occasions with her. The thing is, I'm questioning is, somehow or another, she is called a protective, you know, child protective services, because her mother wanted to send her down here where I'm at in Richmond to her father. And she was calling and telling them a bunch of stuff, because when they went to court the last time, the father got restricted from even contacting her.
All right. Obviously, this is a very specific case, and we can't be that specific, but where, any advice that you can give this gentleman, anybody there here on our panel today?
Have you been in touch with law enforcement in Jefferson County?
Yes, you know, they have. But the thing about this, my stepdaughter don't know what happened, other than she believes her daughter is calling the Child Protective Services because she found out that she was being, wanting to be, maybe be sent down here to Richmond for a while due to this situation over this killing.
Okay, you know what? Why don't you and I speak later off the air? And you can call our office. That number is 246-2060, and we'll see what we can do to get the situation straightened out.
And as for Ms. Redcorn, thanks for the call. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll-free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. And you mentioned this earlier, Luana. This gentleman just said something about a step-parent. You mentioned it yourself, Matt. You said, Luana, earlier that the majority of these sexual abuse cases are people that the victim knows.
Right.
And a lot of times it's family. I notice, just in reading the paper and the cases that we've done on this Forensic Friday show, it is often a boyfriend, and also often a step parent. And it's almost always a man. I know that before they call and say, well, women are do that too. But the vast majority
of the numbers speak for themselves.
Right, exactly. Vast majority of time, it's a step parent or the boyfriend of the mom. Is that fair to say?
Here's what I would say broadly. Crimes against children generally happen by someone who has access to that child. And we rarely have to search long and hard to identify the suspect.
I see.
We generally know who the suspect is fairly early on.
Quickly,
the
yeah.
allegation is it's this person or that person. They're able to name them. And the relationship generally is someone who has access to the child away from the eyes of the public. Very rarely do we have things where it's someone in a parking lot at Walmart who
right.
was walking past the car.
Right. So I would be reluctant to say that it's step parent more often than biological or mom's boyfriend more often than anyone else. So.
Yeah, absolutely not. I would just say that it is, and that just happens to be people who are in a domestic relationship, whether it be parent, grandparent, sibling.
But the vast majority of the time, it's somebody that is known to the
victim.
Absolutely. The numbers say about 90% of the time, it's someone the family knows and trusts. So it's someone
right.
within that inner circle who's been around the family for a while. And what these people do is they manipulate kids the same way, or their parents the same way they're manipulating kids and getting them to lower their boundaries.
We're taking our final break. 253-5959. Touch *590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590 or email jackpat. At WVLKAM.com. Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Luanna didn't mean to change her name. Luanna Redcorn is with us, Sergeant Matt Brotherton, and Children's Advocacy Center Executive Director Andrew Oliver is with us, and yet another cast member to add right now.
Yes, we have Wynn Stevens from the Children's Advocacy Center. Jack, to tell us a little bit about our major fundraising event that's coming up here in August.
Our listeners know Wynn because he was with the Red Cross for so long, and we've spent a lot of years talking to you. How do you like your new job?
Jack, I absolutely love it.
Good.
I have never been as passionate in my professional career about what I'm doing as I am right now.
Glad to hear that.
It's absolutely fantastic. As you've heard that the folks that have been listening for the whole hour, the only way we are able to perform the services that we perform is through the generosity and support of those in the community. And we have a great opportunity for folks who want to help the Children's Advocacy Center coming up on August 22nd. Out at Fasig Tipton, we have an evening for art and advocacy. And it is going to be a spectacular night. It begins Friday, August 22nd, 6 o'clock p.m. Full dinner, cocktails. We're going to have a live art demonstration by Kentucky artist Aaron Kaiser. He's been written up in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. Music by the Metronomes. Jack, if you haven't heard the Metronomes, trust me, they're your kind of group. You'll love them.
Old people group, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying a group that likes to have fun and plays great music.
Good.
And so we would just love to encourage folks to come out. The ticket is $100. It's all-inclusive. You cannot get an evening like this for $100 anywhere. There's going to be a great auction.
Where should people look or go to get
Absolutely.
It?
If folks want to join us, they should call our office at 859-514-1566. They can visit kykids.org, or they can also connect with us on Facebook. That's a great way to find us as well.
It's going to be
terrific.
A great evening.
That's terrific.
I think
great.
We've all been out there and enjoyed ourselves thoroughly, and it's for a great cause.
Wynn, thank you. I'm glad that you're there, and I'm glad you're enjoying your work there.
Thanks, Jack. It's good to see you.
And, Jack, I wanted to take the last few minutes on a positive note, and that is to talk about a success story.
Good. I want to hear that.
Part of what the Children's Advocacy Center does is for those cases that do end up going to criminal prosecution and to trial, it's a great success. And it's the Advocacy Center and other agencies that help us along the way. And we recently had a trial in May. In which a little gal had to come from out of town who'd been sexually abused, and a group of people called Bikers Against Child Abuse came out to support her. And Matt, you knew a little bit about what happened in the courtroom that day. Just tell us about how well it turned out for this gal.
Well, here's the thing, that when a kid is abused by a member of their family, they lose any sense of safety or security. And one of the things that we all want to feel like we're the toughest in the room. And when you're a kid, that's tough. When you're a kid who's been abused, that's tougher. When it's someone in your family, it's the toughest. And so Bikers Against Child Abuse is exactly what it sounds like. It's a bunch of bikers and leather vests with tattoos on their arms. They picked her up from the airport when she came into town. They took her out to dinner. They walked with her to court. They sat in the courtroom with her so that she got to be the toughest
kid in the room. Oh, that's great. A wonderful story.
It was a it just made her feel so good, and her mother, and we had a good outcome in the prosecution. But more importantly, it was such a positive thing for this young girl, and I think probably will continue to be a positive thing for the rest of her life.
Oh, that's such a nice story. Now, Ray, we talk about prosecuting cases and how difficult it is in certain instances, and we did allude to it earlier in the hour, but the reason that a child that says that they have been abused has to be on the stand in a courtroom is because why? Why couldn't they do that, say, on a recording?
Well, our Constitution requires that people charged with crime have a right to confront the witnesses against them. And this, more times than not, as Matt alluded, the child is the only witness.
Yeah.
And they work hard to corroborate what the child says. They describe a situation. They'll go do a search warrant, look at the place, and if it's consistent with what the child says, that's corroboration, you see.
Yeah.
What can we do to keep it from being a he said, she said kind of thing? Because unfortunately, if you go to trial with a he said, she said kind of case, people have a tendency to believe the big person versus the little person. And so what the police try hard to do is to corroborate these statements, even though there are only two people in the room, the bad guy and the good guy.
So you're saying these are difficult to prosecute?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. The other thing I want to say is when Stevens was talking about the fundraiser and that sort of thing, and come out to the fundraiser at Facing Tipton. Let me tell you something. You don't have to come to the fundraiser, but we need dollars to keep the Children's Advocacy Center going.
So you can send money and not go to the party.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And furthermore, all of these agencies in these other 17 counties, this is pretty much paid for by Fayette County and grants and that sort of thing. And I'm hoping in the next year to go introduce the Children's Advocacy Center to the governing bodies in these various counties because, come on, folks, you're getting a big-time service out of Lexington. Let's help support us because this is something that can't go away. It can't go away. We got to keep it in place. And the only way we're going to do it is if people choke up some cash. So,
and one last thing, everybody is reluctant to get involved in cases, particularly that involve children. How important is it if somebody sees something that doesn't look right that they report it to somebody?
Well, it's not just that it's important, it's the law. And the law requires that anybody who has a reasonable cause to believe that a child has been physically, sexually, emotionally abused to call the police, to call social services, to call the statewide hotline and report child abuse.
Thank you guys for being with us this morning. Stand by. We have an update from ABC. If you're listening to WVLK AM, stay with us.